This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time: baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in baseball isn't boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
Awesome, awesome. And I want to personally thank Caitlin Clark for lifting up our sport. She carried a heavy load for our sport. And it just is not going to stop here on the collegiate tour. But when she is the number one pick in the WNBA draft, she's gonna lift that league up as well. So Caitlin Clark, if you're out there, you are one of the GOATs of our games, and we appreciate you.
The voice of Dawn Staley, head coach at South Carolina. They won the women's national title yesterday. NCAA tournament coming to an end. They cut down the nets. Staley, I don't know, how much more she needs to do to become the greatest female coach of all time. Pat Summitt and others are
in that conversation.
Yeah, that's true. But three-time national champion now, seven-time SEC Coach of the Year, I think in seven seasons, four-time Naismith Coach of the Year, two-time AP Coach of the Year, like just all the hardware, really, really good at what she does. South Carolina didn't lose. I believe I saw yesterday they were 36-0 this season. But I bring this up, 38-0, Darius is telling me, even better. I bring this up, Danny, because the TV ratings just came out for yesterday's national championship game. 18.7 million people watched Iowa, South Carolina play for the national title. 18.7 million. Do me a favor. Find out what the men's national championship game got last year. It's played tonight, 9:20 East time. Now, I will say that is a network television middle-of-the-day game on a Sunday afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
Which is going to do a little better maybe than a 9:20 East time game tonight. I would imagine it's on CBS, not on TBS. But for some reason, the Final Four games were on TBS.
Which I didn't love. I mean, it was fine. I found it. It was fine, but I didn't like that.
Shouldn't happen.
Yeah.
But the game yesterday was on network television at 3-something.
Last year's game between Connecticut and San Diego State drew 14.69. Now that is I believe that's a record low for the men's championship game.
Really? Okay,
yeah.
That's interesting. So the men's game's going to do better than 15 million tonight, presumably?
One would think.
Okay, I would not have thought that. But here's the point. 18.7 million, which seems like a ton. The most watched basketball game. I didn't say women's basketball.
That's right.
Basketball game. Men's or women's. College or pro. I didn't say college. The most watched basketball game in 5 years. 18.7 million. NBA games, including the finals, have never done that over a five-year span. College games, including the national championship game, have not done that over a five-year span. Men's, women's, pro college, none of that matters. Yesterday, Iowa and Caitlin Clark, South Carolina, national championship, the most watched basketball game, Danny, in half a decade.
It's incredible. I mean, each round superseded the one before. Remember, we were sitting there marveling at the 12 plus million number. That's now comical in retrospect, right? Where they were outdrawing most of the NBA finals, every World Series game, etc. The next round, UConn and Iowa drew in the 14s, almost 15 million, and then this one's just shy of 19 million. I mean, jaw dropping. That's beyond fad. You know what I mean? That's not you can explain that one away. Like, sorry, you're going to have to deal with that. That's an enormous number.
It's absolutely unfathomable. Like, I don't say unbelievable as great. I say unbelievable as I can't make sense of that number in my head. But here's my experience yesterday. So it was a busy sports day in D.C., right? I've talked about this a few times. But I went and parked. I dropped my kids and my family off at the Defenders game and fought through a bunch of D.C. traffic, went and parked, and then I was hoofing it a bunch of blocks over to Audi Field, listening to the Nats game, Charlie and Dave on my phone. As I'm walking by Mission, you know the bar down here in the Navy Yard?
Mm-hmm.
People were going nuts, and there were a billion people in there, by the way. But it was clear everyone was watching a game and they were reacting. And I thought, well, what game is on right now? Because I literally thought, I'm like, okay, well, Iowa, South Carolina's tonight. Because I wouldn't think that a championship game would be played during the day. When's the last time that you remember any title game being played when the sun was out?
I do not remember that. I also thought it was ridiculous, by the way, like to not have a normal primetime window, like a 7 o'clock start on the Eastern
Would
seaboard?
That have been better or worse for ratings?
I thought better because I think people tune in, you know, Sunday evenings, everyone's
prime
doing whatever
time
Sunday,
is
prime time.
That
yeah.
For a reason.
Like they didn't put the Sopranos on at 3 p.m.
So
on Sunday
could
nights.
Could it have done 20 million?
Maybe.
Okay. Well, anyway, I'm walking by and I hear everyone going nuts and I went, all right, if Iowa plays tonight, Caitlin Clark's not on. I said, the men aren't playing today. Like, what are they going crazy about? So I kind of break my stride of where I'm headed. I go back and peer in, and they're watching Iowa, South Carolina. And that's when I found out, oh, wait, this game's on right now. So then fast forward, I get over to Audi Field. I'm walking in right before kickoff. Mm-hmm. Kickoff was at 4, I think. So it would have been like 3:50. I'm walking into the stadium, and there's a kid in front of me. If Gen Z is Ryan, maybe he's younger than that. Because this kid's like 9 or 10 years old.
A Zoomer?
His dad's next to him, and he's holding the phone, and he's watching the Iowa game. Mm-hmm. And he's like, Clark just scored again. And he's standing right in front of me, and he's just, this is just a little kid walking into a football game, watching women's college basketball as he's going through like the checkpoint to get into the game. So I bring this up, Danny, to say very obvious interest from what I saw. Walking by a packed bar where everyone's screaming, hooting, hollering, and then I'm seeing him watching it on a screen. I went to the game. My wife's aunt and uncle came. They were just watching it at their house before they came and were checking the score. Like, it had that big game people care about feel to it, where you just tangentially as you're walking around, you could hear people talking about it. Like, that kind of major threshold is something we hadn't seen crossed by women's college basketball until this year.
No. I mean, there had been marquee things before. You know, like, again, we mentioned Junior AM and Pat Summitt, them meeting in the finals, which always seemed inevitable, you know, as to the perennial powers. It was like, the joke was they could play in December, and that would decide the champion, and we wouldn't need a season because they were so great. Well, then there's now more talent. It's more spread out. I mean, everybody's had little runs, but you mentioned it now that there's Dawn Staley at South Carolina. Now they're kind of the overdog, right? This phenomenon, though, of Caitlin Clark, I don't think can be overstated. I know some people may be exhausted by it, and you're saturated because she's everywhere. Sorry. The nation tuned in to see her. There's no way around that,
yeah,
right? Like, that singular phenomenon of her, whether it was, I don't know what brought it from sports fans know to casual fans had to see it, but it did.
I think a lot of it is like the media machine obsession, right? Mm. Where eventually, like, everyone's doing it now, so I got to do it. I think it just happened where it was like Tiger Woods level. I don't care about the PGA Tour or golf, but I will watch to see this guy that I've been told I have to watch.
Mm-hmm.
And it was that way for Caitlin Clark. I just looked this up. WNBA Finals TV viewership in 2023. Now, again, this is my first Google search here, so if this isn't right, don't hold it against me. But it looks like an average of 728,000 people watched the WNBA Finals. I think this is a really instructive comparison, okay? I'd imagine it's the same in women's basketball as men's basketball. I'm speaking as a novice here. I don't follow the game that closely. I got in on Caitlin Clark like everyone else at the end. But in the NBA, Danny, you would not suggest ever. Like, it would be a joke. Dumb people say UConn could beat an NBA team. Talking about the men and clinging tonight.
Mm-hmm.
No, they couldn't. They would get demolished by an NBA team. The worst NBA team, the Wizards or whoever you want to pick, would destroy the UConn Huskies. They just would.
Right.
Don't you think it's probably the same for the WNBA? Like, Iowa or South Carolina would not have a chance against a bad WNBA team? Isn't it similar?
I would say so. I mean, listen, Caitlin Clark can play in the WNBA. She'll go in the top and
She'll
be a really good player. With all, you know,
but there's a UConn player that could play in the NBA. That doesn't change the fact that they would have no chance to beat the Wizards.
And that's kind of my point. As you go down the roster, there'll be a matchup exploitation probably. You know, like the fourth best player on Iowa who's not going to the WNBA is going to have to guard the WNBA player. Yeah.
I bring this up to say the basketball theoretically then is better when you're watching the WNBA finals, the Aces against the Liberty or whoever it is, and 725,000 people watched compared to 19 million people that watched. And that tells me this really wasn't necessarily about that, like a women's basketball arrival, as much as it maybe was, I have to see Caitlin Clark, who's so incredible and so amazing and so unbelievable. So it brings up the question to me, though, can this sustain? Not at 19 million people, but is this the beginning of a new era where 5 years ago, the women's tournament, they weren't really doing pregame and postgame. They weren't having their own selection Sunday. Like, nobody was filling out a women's bracket, right? And you look at the difference in 5 years. What does it look like 2, 3, 4, 5 years from now? Jesse Dougherty wrote in the Washington Post today, saying today is the first day for NCAA women's basketball post Caitlin Clark, essentially. She's going, as you said, to the WNBA pick one. Has it changed forever, or was this a, people aren't going to watch golf more, they're just going to watch Tiger. People aren't going to watch, I'm trying to think of other examples like that, where you got in for a person. You think of other sports where that was the case?
There have been singular phenomenons, whether Tiger you think tennis, you know, for a time you're watching one of the Venus or Serena Williams, not to that level though, right? There's been stardom moments where you got to see the Olympics here and there.
I've got one for me. Messi in the MLS.
There's one. Yeah.
Messi scored like every game, 5 or 6 games in a row, remember, with Miami, and you and I were starting to go, this guy is making the MLS look really bad. I remember asking on the show, is this good or bad for Major League Soccer? That he's no longer at his peak, but he's just destroying this league, it seems like, and scoring every time he plays. It's awesome that he's bringing eyeballs to it, but it also makes the sport look not very good. But I remember watching an MLS game for the first time in years, DC United or otherwise, but non-DC United, first time in my life. Not in full, but I turned it on. Same thing I would do with Iowa women's basketball. I'm not going to... It starts at 7, 6:59, I'm getting my popcorn, I'm sitting down, and I'm not getting up till 10. This is not a Nats or a Wizards or a Caps game for me. This isn't a Commanders game, but I'm going to watch it. I have never been, as a college basketball fan, Danny, just leveling with you, I've never gotten into or watched much women's college basketball. I watched the last few games Caitlin Clark played in this tournament. Absolutely. I don't think I would have watched South Carolina UConn last night if she wasn't playing. Make sense?
Yeah, of course.
If South Carolina was playing UConn for the title, even though I had just watched UConn and Iowa, I would not have watched South Carolina play UConn last night.
Yeah, she is a singular phenomenon. It's a long way of saying what we kind of all know, right? There have been a number of these kinds of phenomena. You touched on Tiger Woods. So go back to his Masters win back in the day, right? Go back to the time where the whole world saw him wearing red and the singular fist pump and that chip that went in. 40-some million people watched that. The numbers will be a fraction of that, kind of in this post-Tiger Woods world. I know he's playing now, but it's not the same. It's not the phenomenon that it was. There have been a number of these examples kind of throughout history, right? Where the initial bump of David Beckham playing in the MLS, or the initial bump of Thierry Henry, or the initial bump of fill-in-the-blank superstar that kind of comes to the forefront, gets the initial curiosity, and then we kind of go back to what it was before, maybe with a slight uptick. There have also been examples, though, where an entryway into a sport have served to catapult it. The best example is Formula One. Not a factor in our sporting landscape. There have always been people that have loved it, you know, a small faction of sports fans, but you give them the gateway drug of that documentary, which is so incredible, that's lasted for multiple seasons. Now there are multiple races in the U.S. and they sell the things out. There's a phenomenon going on in D.C. where one of the Red Bull cars is on Pennsylvania Avenue, for God's sakes.
Yeah.
Everybody cares. So you can cross the threshold to a degree. I don't see that here where it becomes now part of the national conversation all the time in a post-Caitlin Clark world?
No, it will
but
not
do I
be
expect
anything
an uptick?
Like it was
yes.
this week.
Yeah, I expect
sure.
an uptick.
So I can only speak from my own perspective, right? And while I absolutely, had I not have been at the Defenders game, would have been watching that game at home and still was interested enough that a couple times I pulled up the score, is she going to win the title? Because I've seen people, you know, on all these stupid hot take TV shows. She can't be one of the greatest ever if she doesn't win the title. Please go away forever. No one's ever scored more points. No one's ever attracted more eyeballs to the sport. No one's ever been a better version of Steph Curry in the women's game. Like, I've never seen anything like it. So, okay, gatekeeper, tell me she's not one of the best ever because she didn't win a title, I'm sure. But I kept pulling it up, and then I would look at the box score to see how many she scored. I won't be doing that anymore, I don't think. Mm-hmm. If there's another Caitlin Clark next year who is that good and plays at that level, maybe. No, if it gets to a point where my buddies are all texting me, my mom's asking me if I'm watching because every TV show's over talking about it, and Good Morning America's doing a segment on it, and whoever the new Oprah is it Kelly Clarkson or somebody? You know, is telling everyone, this Caitlin Clark girl, it was amazing. And my mom sees that. Like, if that happens again, then maybe I'll turn the game back on. But personally, I'm not sure that I'll do that. Will I watch her in the WNBA is maybe a better conversation. Sometimes, but I won't. For some reason, college is different. Like the tournament, the championship.
Mm-hmm.
I was more into that than... I can't tell you that I'm going to lock in on her debut in the WNBA. I'll bet you I'll check it out, but I don't think it's going to be like appointment television.
So think back to a Cinderella run. It's not the same phenomenon, but bear with me. You went to George Mason. And when George Mason goes to the Final Four, the nation fell in love with this story, with how cool it was, Billy Packer saying they don't belong in the tournament, and here they are in the Final Four. And it was like, oh my God, this is so great. It was great for the school, great for the university, obviously, for the local community. Applications went through the roof, and George Mason became one of the places. If they'd had an NBA player, it wouldn't have spiked NBA TV ratings, right? I know it's not exactly analogous, but I'm trying to...
See, that doesn't work for
me, but I'm trying. The point I'm trying to make is, I don't know that everywhere she goes forever, it's going to be this level of buzz, right? Like, this run they went on where she is in another... NCAA tournament final, that singular event, that journey where it's with a single elimination, walk on the tightrope, you slip up, you have one bad shooting night, your season's over, your career's over, that's that.
Yeah.
That dramatics is incredible, and I think that draws eyeballs. I don't think if she's playing for the Sky or the Storm or the Sun or I don't know if those are real names or not, that's going to do the same thing in the regular season.
The Eclipse. Should be a team called the Eclipse.
I actually feel like there should be.
Absolutely should be. Pete just texted me, our buddy Pete Medhurst. He said, Iowa-UConn semifinal did $14 million. Which we talked about, but then he mentions USC versus South Carolina, so non-Caitlin Clark, did $7 million.
Which still is still a ton, by the way.
A massive number. I do think, though, that still benefits from her presence because it's who's she going to play? Mm-hmm. I just watched this game, now maybe I'll watch the other. Like, that game was on, I remember this, right after a Caitlin Clark game. And I think it's still feeding off of her.
It's your lead-in to a degree.
When she's gone, then what? I think that the game will grow. I think whatever the numbers were, I don't have them in front of me. If it was 1 million or 1.2 million a few years ago, maybe it'll be 1.7 or 2 million now, and there will be sustained growth.
Mm-hmm.
I think that what we've seen, though, is about Caitlin Clark more than anything else. That's my thought. Is that people tuned in. We love, like, the star, the superstar. Oh, yeah. It's like going to a movie for Denzel. It's turning on golf for Tiger. I think this was a Caitlin Clark thing. But I want to know what people think about that. 800-636-1067. Is this a new era where, women's college basketball comes out of this having closed the gap with men's college basketball and is... this beloved entity that starts getting bigger numbers and more interest? Or do you think this was kind of a, let me see what this Caitlin Clark story is all about, where a lot of us tuned in, and as long as she was there, we were going to be watching, but maybe everyone goes their separate ways now. Someone just tweeted me, Todd said, Lance Armstrong. That's a great one. Do not
there you go.
Care about there it bike is. Racing. Yep. I never watched the Tour de France once before him. I haven't watched 1 minute of it since, but when it was on and Lance Armstrong was going to continue his stretch of stage wins in the yellow jacket or whatever the hell else he was doing, there was some interest there. That's a good example. That might be a good topic.
That's
too.
The best one, yeah.
Who else did more for their sport, in recent history than her? G&D on the Fan.
when I think about women's basketball going forward, you know, obviously it's just going to continue to grow, whether it's at the WNBA level, whether it's at the college level. Like, everybody sees it, everybody knows, everybody sees the viewership numbers. When you're given an opportunity, women's sports just kind of thrives. And I think that's been the coolest part for me on this journey is just, you know, we start our season playing in front of 55,000 people in Kinnick Stadium, and now we're ending it probably playing in front of 15 million people or more on TV. You know, it just continues to get better and better and better, and that's never going to stop. You know, when you continue to give them the platform, like, this, things like this are just going to continue to happen.
That's Caitlin Clark of Iowa. They lost in the national championship game yesterday, but almost 19 million people watched, and that is the subject here on Grant and Danny. What an unbelievable breakout this year for women's college basketball. TV ratings have been astronomical. Mike on Twitter, you can hit us up on X at Grant H. Paulson at Funny Danny. He said, look at Sabrina Ionescu. She did similar things in college to Clark. Got her own signature shoe from Nike. No one watching her in the WNBA or tuning in for her games now. I do remember her being a big superstar. She was at Oregon. She had ties to, like, Kobe Bryant. She was definitely the biggest deal in the country at that point. I think that her fame doesn't hold a candle to Caitlin Clark's. And so I don't know that the comp is perfect. I think if he's just saying a lot of people cared when she was the biggest superstar in college and cared less when she got to the WNBA, there might be some truth to that, because I actually saw, now I got to think about who this was. I think it was Diana Taurasi, but it was a WNBA superstar come out and was basically not necessarily knocking Caitlin Clark, but saying, it's weird to me that people care so much about a great college basketball player when we're better in the WNBA and they don't seem to care about me or us. I'm paraphrasing what she said. But clearly she feels the same way, where it's like, wait a second. If you care about Caitlin Clark right now, keep that same energy when she's the number one pick and playing in professional games with better players next year. But there's a college element of this that is significant. It doesn't necessarily, it's not that way in the men's side, I don't think, where, you know, you don't like Drake May less when he gets to Washington or when he gets to Minnesota. You know what I mean?
Totally. With it's hard to explain this very well, and I'm going to do my best. One of the reasons I've had a hard time kind of getting into the new spring football leagues is when Washington plays Houston, that doesn't have an intrinsic value to me. In other words, they're not my rivals. They haven't made me miserable time after time. I don't hate their fans or whatever, like I've got with the Eagles, or I've got with the Cowboys, or I've got with the Giants. So it's hard for me to kind of create that sort of energy. You know that when Michigan plays Ohio State, it matters. Millions of people care so deeply. Tears are shed. Punches are thrown. It is everything. When Duke Carolina plays that basketball game, it's everybody screaming and you know, blood's coming out of their eyes because they want it so bad. They're grinding their teeth because they care so damn much. There's an element of that with college basketball that you can never replace in the NBA. The NBA's got enough tradition where there are certainly rivalries. You think of all those Jordan years against the Pistons or the Knicks, and you know, the Knicks Heat later on. And you've seen plenty of those things. It's dissipated now to some degree. But respectfully, there's none of that intrinsic headbutting when the Liberty play the Storm. You see what I'm saying? Like that history hasn't been there for whatever reason. And you want to blame me for it because I didn't embrace the league early on? Fine. But it's hard for me to get on board.
My first thought when you suggested this issue that you have is every rivalry started somewhere.
Sure.
And it took an opt-in. And you have chosen not to care, essentially.
Right.
Like, in other words, what you mentioned the Defenders. So I'll just go with that.
Sure.
Like, they started in 2020. The people that were there yesterday dressed as Defenders
are in
beers,
and have been in, yes.
They just decided at some point. Initially, they didn't care either. And then they went and they don't care about Houston. I promise you, the Roughnecks, there's no rivalry. But they opted into now caring about Ta'amu. And you know, everyone does that at some point with their sports. Even at the major Big Four. You know, like when the Nats came to D.C., you had the Nats Mets didn't mean anything to you. Right? The Nats Braves didn't mean anything. Nationals baseball didn't mean anything. You opted in. You made the choice, and you haven't made the choice to do that, which is not a knock.
No,
just an observation.
Which, no, I think it's fair. But then, you know, then the Phillies take over the park, and then and now I got a rivalry. Now I want to beat them every time, and I hate them so much.
Sure, but my guess is you cared about them before the Phillies took over the park.
No, I was excited about baseball coming back.
At some point, you decided you were going to care.
Yeah.
And you said this earlier in the show, and I think this is, it's not a knock in any way, but wrestling, XFL, whatever it is, if you don't care, you're not going to work to care. right?
Totally. Yeah. It is what it is.
You weren't going to tune in the Iowa game, whereas for me, I have not cared about women's college basketball all year long or at any point, but everyone's talking about Caitlin Clark. Let me see how good she is. Mm-hmm. I watch a couple of possessions and I'm going, damn. This is pretty cool.
So the reason I brought that point up is that, not necessarily talking about my own experience, but trying to quantify why, to answer if it was Dinah Taurasi. I'm not sure who gave that quote.
It was Taurasi.
Yeah. So to try to answer that, here's why. Like at the college level, there's intrinsic meaning behind two schools playing against each other, right? Like this tournament is so unique. There's a reason the country stops for the men's tournament that first weekend, and everybody's betting. Everyone's got a bracket. Everybody gives a damn about places and schools they never heard of. You know, I think probably 200 million people found out that Oakland is not in California the first weekend of that tourney, this past season, right? That is something that's unique to us. And I'm trying to quantify what those reasons are, right? Why people care maybe more about the college game in that circumstance than maybe they would the NBA game. Nobody's watching. I don't say nobody. Very few people watch that November, I don't know, those Christmas type tournaments. A tournament.
Where, I love a good tournament.
You ever been to a tournament?
Where, is this a real quote, by the way? Darius or Ryan? Dinah Taurasi and Caitlin Clark joining the WNBA. Reality's coming. You look superhuman playing against 18-year-olds, but you're going to come play with some grown women that have been playing professional basketball for a long time.
I believe she said that on their altcast, on ESPN's altcast that was on ESPN.
I mean, why Venom? Like, she is making your sports.
There was a lot of that. It was from her and Sue Bird was the other one,
really?
I believe. Yeah, there was a lot
that
of.
That is so weird to me. Also, that is strange to me. I'll just leave it at
peanut
that.
Peanut butter and? Anyway.
Jelly?
Thank you. But looking at it, like, I don't know, that college phenomenon to me, I think, is something we can't underestimate, right? In terms of that tournament and how much people care. Like, people aren't watching like Chaminade take on Kansas in early December, right? When they have that tournament that nobody cares about.
Yeah.
But people will watch the NBA finals, you know, because that obviously has gravity.
So we'll answer for ourselves. Mm-hmm. Well, you didn't watch her, so you're not going to watch after her.
Right.
I did watch her. I'm not planning on watching next season. I am open to, if another Caitlin Clark comes along, changing my sight line. But I am one of the 19 million, and I will be one of the ones that probably get subtracted just because it's not part of my purview. Like, it's not like when I'm watching the game or the sport, I'm going, I got to watch more of this. I'm just watching for Caitlin Clark. When I got in on the Capitals, as an example, as a little kid, I remember thinking, I want to see another NHL game tonight. Like, I'll watch. I'm just making this up. Is Edmonton playing tonight? Let's see what McDavid's doing.
Mm-hmm.
If you take someone to an NHL game and they love it, they might go home and watch Winnipeg play Dallas at 10 o'clock for the late night game. I'm not searching for now Northwestern against Purdue,
right?
Like women's college basketball. Let's see what you guys think. Is this going to be sustainable, or is this just a Caitlin Clark bump here? Sean in Germantown, what's up?
Hey, listen, not you two guys, but I'm going to go there. Here's the deal. It's not sustainable unless you have a storyline. What made Caitlin Clark's storyline was that little tiff with Angel Reese. And there's racial undertones in it. So, because I'm just telling you what I hear, what I heard. And so I remember when Larry Bird was doing his thing. And I remember hearing guys, black guys, man, that white boy ain't going to do nothing in the NBA. I'm like, you're nuts.
Wait, so I have not actually heard this, but again, I don't track it very closely. So is the idea then, because she's a white women's basketball player who plays this well, that it's like more interesting or notable?
And if she goes to the WNBA and turns out to be a Larry Bird, not a Jimmer Fredette, but she turns out to be a Larry Bird, it's going to boost the WNBA immensely.
Hmm.
That story, she's going to make paychecks for Sue Bird and all the haters.
But isn't Ionescu really good? Or like Taurasi, is she not one of the best in the WNBA already?
But there's a difference. There was a flair. She came with this flair with the fingers in the face stuff, right? So she came with kind of like an inner city flair. So it's like, wait a minute, who's this? I work corn farmer, right? So
yeah.
He's coming with that flair, and so that's what's bringing it, because it kind of reminded me of when in the Muhammad Ali boxing days, whenever somebody white came along that was promising, everybody got on board because it was rare. And so you're kind of seeing the same thing. And so I'm hoping she sustains it, because it's funny. The only woman I could actually watch play basketball was Dawn Staley when she was at Virginia, because I used to say, man, she got handles like a dude. And she was good.
Well, she's now maybe the best coach in the country.
Yeah.
Thank you for the call. Here's where I don't know enough about the, is it because she's a white superstar in a sport where all of the superstars aren't white, although Paige Beckers was a player of the year. I don't think it's that uncommon. I'm thinking of Ionescu. I'm sure there are number one overall picks that haven't been white. I don't track it, but it doesn't seem like this was the first time in a long time. But I will agree with him on the Angel Reese thing. That was the first time I'd ever heard about Caitlin Clark. I'm being honest. Last year, her versus Angel Reese in that LSU-Iowa tiff. Remember all that?
Sure, of course, yeah.
And Angel Reese like followed her around the floor in this ridiculous way that I still think everyone just was like, guys do this all the time. I've never seen a guy do that. Like after he just won a game, like follow someone around the court. It's never happened once. Find me the video. I'll apologize. You won't find it. But anyway, I remember that for the first time, seeing those two kind of go at it. So if his point is her versus Reese was like the jumping off point, I could kind of get behind that. That was the first time I'd ever heard about her.
I think there's something to that. And you know, the other component of that, I would say the bettering an opponent that's known matters an awful lot towards legacy stepping stones. In other words, Jordan wasn't Jordan until they beat the Pistons. You know what I mean? Like he was just a superstar. He was great. He was a great basketball player. Yeah, but so what? Once you got over that little mountaintop there, then it sort of that made him, right? So I buy that kind of a stepping stone.
Dan Steinberg, who's one of the editors over at The Post, wrote about 10 minutes ago on X, 8 of our 9 most read sports stories last week were about women's basketball. Is this a Caitlin Clark moment, or is this something bigger where the women's game is growing in a way that it will be have its seat at the table with major sports? Grant and Danny on The Fan. As Caitlin Clark leaves Iowa, what's it mean for women's college basketball? 19 million people tuned in. 19 million.
What an incredible number.
To the national championship game yesterday. That's the most watched basketball game, men's or women's, college or pro. Nothing LeBron's done, and none of your favorite NBA stars have been in a game with more people watching over the last 5 years. Go to Vince in Ashburn. What's up, Vince?
Hey, how y'all guys doing?
Hey, buddy.
Well, I went online to, because, you know, Caitlin's going to the Indiana Fever. So I went online to the Mystics to see if I can get tickets for that game. The game is already just about sold out.
Wow.
There's only a couple of tickets left. And all of them are over $200.
Is the schedule
so
out already?
I went and looked at some other, go on like Ticketmaster or StubHub, and there's very limited seats left, and everything left is over $200.
Wow.
But when you look at the other WNBA games, ticket prices, you can find tickets for these other games like $24 and stuff like that, but you can't find anything like that for the Indiana Fever coming to town.
So I'm looking at the schedule now. It looks like they open on May
14th. That's a good nugget right there.
Against the Liberty. So the WNBA draft happens between now and the start of the season, and she'll be on the floor in May? Is that what's happening?
Yeah, the WNBA draft, I believe, is the same week as the NFL draft, it might be. I think earlier in that week. It's late
idea.
April, something like that.
They should definitely have it the same time.
I'd space it out a little bit if it's up to
maybe
me.
Maybe give it a little breathing room there.
Yeah, it's sometime in late April.
So the Mystics are playing the Fever at home. Let's see. Yeah, I mean, so he's trying to get tickets months out. That game is going to be June 7th. In D.C. And he's already looking
already
at
can't
a couple
find
$100 tickets.
Yeah, and I think I sent you guys a story last week from Front Office Sports where the Las Vegas Aces, they are moving to T-Mobile Arena just for that game against the Indiana Fever because they're anticipating a much bigger crowd than their normal, I believe, 12,000-seat arena. They're now going up to a 20,000-seat
arena.
Yeah,
that's where the Vegas Golden Knights play, and they have boxing matches. So they want to put 7,000-8,000 more. I mean, I'm telling you, I don't think anybody's made this big of an impact on their sport since, like, Tiger. I really believe that. And what he did for golf, it's been that much of an explosion. And the timing is perfect, right, as we're trying to expand the scope on what people are taking in and what they're consuming. And she came along at a time as this must-watch talent that has changed the game in a lot of ways. Kennedy is in Annandale, home of the Adams. What's up?
Hey, thanks for taking my call, fellas. You know, a couple quick points. You know, I will admit this much, and it's not hard to admit it. It was pretty exciting to watch, you know, Clark versus Reese and then Beckers versus Watkins. Like, I was compelled by that. I just don't see the sustainability. I know it's going to be a phenom for a while, but I'm a basketball guy, and I remember Candace Parker couldn't get it over the hump. Brittany Griner couldn't get it over the hump. Taurasi, Sue Bird, et cetera. And this is my next point, and I don't want to take us down a rabbit hole because this might not ever happen, but if they just lowered the rim to 9 feet, it would be a complete game changer. We'd have two-handed dunks. We'd have alley-oops. We'd have that excitement that keeps it from being just such a stale game to watch. Anyway, that's enough out of me. I'm very hopeful, but I've tried watching the WNBA. I can't get through a quarter of it, gentlemen.
So you anyway, appreciate the phone call.
Thanks, dude.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So he mentioned Brittany Griner. Oh, go ahead.
Sorry. No, I was going to say there have been so many stars. I mean – who have never transcended it this way. And it does remind me of Steph Curry, not just because of how she plays, but because the cool thing about Steph Curry was he, like, if you saw him walking down the street, now you know it's Steph Curry. It's a Hall of Famer, one of the greatest players ever to play. But you would go, it's just a regular dude.
Yeah.
Right? She's not 6'7". She's not, you know, dunking like the dudes do. Or, you know what I mean? Like, there's kind of an everyman element to it, and that she's on the court and doesn't miss from these incredible angles and all sorts of shots from the middle of nowhere.
I think she's 5'11 plus, less than 6 foot. I think her game is kind of what makes it different. In the same way Steph Curry changed the NBA and the way we space the floor and how often people are shooting threes.
Every kid that I coached this season, of these 9 and 10 year olds, that's all they wanted to do.
Quite
that's
sure.
That's it.
That's, of course, the case. The whole sport is that way. But she was the Steph, of, in my opinion, of the women's game, where step across the timeline and hit. She also can distribute and is a great passer. This is, I think I saw a stat that her and Trae Young are the only people in the last X number of years who have led the
points and assists
in both scoring and assists. I mean, so she's more than just a shooter, but she's arguably the greatest shooter we ever saw in women's college basketball. Jay in D.C., what's up?
What's up, you guys? Yeah, my wife was just screaming about how much those tickets cost. We're all the way in. My wife has never been a fan of anything up until, like, last year when she started. Like, she's all the way in. We drove down to the ACC tournament, and right after the ACC tournament, we drove down to the SEC tournament. Like, I've probably watched one guy's college basketball game this year, like, I haven't watched any NBA games. Like, we're all in on this. And if you're looking for another player, Juju Watkins is going to be better. Juju's in that MB commercial. Like, I mean, she's a freshman right now. She's nasty. You got Audie Crooks. Audie Crooks could play for the Redskins. Like, that's how big she is. Like, I mean, like, it's like, it's so much that you guys, like, are missing by just not deciding. Like, I mean, that's what, though, Dan, you're just deciding, like, not to care. Like, I'm telling you, man, you just give it a chance. Like, to me, it's more fun to watch, and LeBron said this. It's more fun to watch because they stay for their own teams for so long. You get to know their personalities. You get to know the coaches. I mean, I was, like, crying last night. I mean, yesterday when Dawn Staley was getting her trophy and everything. It was just so emotional because you feel like you've been with the team all year and they've been together forever.
That
it's
sounds like
different,
a,
it's different from the WNBA.
Yeah, I mean,
Jay, thanks,
that sounds like a win in that, like,
of course,
the player movement, coach movement, all that stuff. It is a deterrent. But it isn't more fun for me. I mean, if I'm just being honest, like, I don't enjoy it to the same extent. Well, I got in on the Clark thing and it was a blast. But if I'm just saying watching UConn tonight, as I call it UConn because I think they're going to beat Purdue handily, but yeah. UConn-Purdue or last night, I get more joy out of watching UConn and Purdue. Having said that, I, you know, with Clark on the floor, that was a worthy must-see event for me.
I'll say this real quick because I know we're late. I, I watched the 99 Women's World Cup like the rest of the country. That was as compelling a phenomenon. Before the tournament started, no one knew who Brandi Chastain was. People knew who Mia Hamm was because there was marketing, and you know she was at that time maybe viewed as one of the great players ever, maybe the best in U.S. history. But nobody knew these folks, the Michelle Akerses of the world, the Julie Foudies and everybody. They took the country by storm. It was Caitlin Clark times a team. Everybody was watching it. Hundreds of thousands of people show up for the finals of the World Cup, and the whole nation watch. Brandi Chastain scores that goal on the penalty kick, and you know the shirt comes off, and it was amazing when they did. Okay, we've got momentum. Let's do the women's league. I just couldn't muster the same thing, and I wasn't alone. I mean, the ratings were paltry, and it folded. Now we're in, I think, the second or third iteration of something like that. So it's not as if to say like. All you have to do is give it a chance. It's not necessarily true that way. Sometimes it just doesn't stick, and there's a million reasons why.
He's Danny. I'm Grant. You're listening to The Fan. Big night in D.C. sports ahead. We will set the table for what lies this evening and tomorrow as the Caps get back on the ice next on GND.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. You'll be glad you did.